This is an oral history interview tape with Mr. Henry Kalupnik in Vertebrae, Nebraska, July 31st, 1980. The interviewer is David Cookson. Well, Henry, I thought, first of all, what we'd talk about is the creamery, knowing that you and your father were involved so much in the creamery. Go ahead.
Yeah, first in about 1911 when Dad built the creamery below the railroad tracks there. And just below, just on the east side of the creamery, there was a flour mill there which was powered by water there. And as far as I can remember, there was 8 homes below the track. And the home that I was born is still down there.
Mm-hmm.
Very little I can remember. The flood must be 1914, because I can remember Dad carrying me up to the railroad tracks. My feet was dragging in the water. And that's about all I can remember at that time, but I know later on I noticed there was 3 houses just north of the creamery, and 2 of them was washed out by flood because they had to move them there because the water washed the banks away. Then I think it's about 1919 when Dad built the creamer over here in this 2-story building. And he put a power plant in there so it could produce power for the city of Vertebrae, which didn't have no lights at that time. And the upstairs creamery had a supply tank which would supply the water for the creamery. Buttermilk tank, ale, and I suppose it stored 8 cases which we used to measure for our own 8 cases. And butter crates and butter boxes and electrical supplies, which was so it could acquire the houses here. And when the creamery then later on start to make ice cream, we bottle milk, pasteurized milk, used to pasteurize and put them in quart bottles or pint bottles, and used to sell milk. Mm-hmm. And at that time we didn't have an ice plant there because Dad had a building just east of the creamery, a wooden building that used to make ice on the creek. And they hauled it in there and supply a year of ice to cool the cream there. Then he put a little addition on there and start making ice to do away with. And manufacture ice.
The ice that he brought from the creek, would that last all summer long?
Yes, well, your supply would to do that.
How did he
We would pack it with straw, I guess. They put a layer of ice and pack it with straw, and the ice straw and just kept it packing, and the supply your supply of ice. And in order to get the farmers started with cream here, that I imagine 2,000 head on a summer, maybe more or less, would ship in dairy cattle to the farmers here and gotten started to sell cream. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no cream to sell to the creamery, because mm-hmm. That's where you got the farmers started with the cream there.
Mm.
And I still can remember that, well, till about the last 10 years, that before he gave up the creamery that was selling dairy cow all the time. Dad had a brother in Minnesota that would bring him up. And
what? Yeah.
Then I know he had some dairy cattle on the farm that with the hogs that wanted to sell them there.
Where was your farm?
Right, straight across the creek next, you know, just north of the Riverside Cemetery is a farm there.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I don't know, then we used to manufacture that ice cream, and later they discovered Eskimo pies, so Dad went right into it, so we started making Eskimo pies, and one of my sisters and I, we had the job of cutting ice cream in bricks or squares or what, and we'd dip them in soft chocolate and hang them up for a few seconds, and to dry, and we'd wrap them, and we used to pack Eskimo pies, ship them by express north and south of East Town. Same with the ice cream, used to do the same thing with that. And We used to load a carload of butter every year, ship it to New York, and Grady Good Creamer was noted to have a number one butter at that time, so Dad had a contract with Swift there at Sioux City, and they was buying our butter, and they would finish their own cartons, put in a pound carton, and we had, instead of using stuff that time, they had square boxes that we packed them in there, and I had a job for 37, 38, 39, 3 years. I trucked the butter to Sioux City 3 times a week. 3 loads, I trucked a lot of butter to Sioux City. It was my job for 3 years. Then someone else took over. I don't know, just any more added to that or not.
Well, I have a few questions to ask you. I've been told that you provided a good deal of employment to
everybody. 18 or 19 employees at one time that had there.
Mm-hmm. And just about everybody at some time when they were growing up would work at the creamery.
Yeah. I know we used to buy eggs too and poultry, and we should ship a carload of eggs a week, and sometimes 2 or 3 carloads of poultry would go out. We'd have on the railroad track. We used to ship them out.
Mm-hmm. Now, were they already killed and cleaned at that time?
No, they're still alive.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then I can remember we used to geese and ducks. My sisters had a job there. They would pick them, of course, they just pick them, and I don't know. Then they pack them in these saw barrels that they saw they were shipping in. I don't know what them barrels, what they hold, 400 pounds of salt or what, I don't. Mm-hmm. And ship them, I don't know, to New York, and them, pack them with dressed geese and dressed ducks. Used to ship them to New York.
Was there a railroad spur going right to the back
of
the creamery?
There used to, right back. It used to be 4 passenger trains a day come through Grady Good at that time.
Could you tell us more about the trains, what it was like to see the trains here? And
2 trains in the morning, one to come up and one back, passenger in the afternoon, one to come up and one back, you go to the winter South Dakota. And on them trains, we used to get as high as, by an express, as high as 150 cans of cream a day would come on the express with unloading, because they come from winter South Dakota. And a few cans would come up from the south, not too many, but a big mound of cream came from the north. I know I used to wash them cans, 150 cans a day. I had a job.
So you know
there.
How many there were.
That's before they had automatic washer. After I quit, they had automatic washer. I thought didn't have to wash them.
Had to be replaced by a washer, huh?
So I washed a lot of cream cans then. Sure. Then, I don't know, then
they came in about 11, and by 3 they were out.
By 3 they had to be out back to go.
They
didn't waste no time to
catch you out of the train.
To catch you out of the train back.
That's interesting. Well, did you ever sell ice cream to like the passengers on the train or anything like that, or when they came through?
We loaded on express ice cream to go down to different towns where there was furnished ice cream, like Niagara and different towns, and butter too, with 2 other towns that they would furnish them.
Train crew came up there.
And the train crew came and bought ice cream from?
Yeah, train crew, yeah.
And get them while we were.
Right, the train crew would, yeah.
Where was the next nearest creamery?
Creighton had one. That's a cooperative creamery. Creighton had one. I think Bloomfield had a cooperative creamery. I don't know. I think there's only 2 home-owned creameries in the state of Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken.
And your father's was the...
One of them.
Can you tell us more about your father? I've heard a lot about him. He did an awful lot. You were talking earlier about the park across the street.
I think Dad was, 7 or 8 years old when he came into this country from your country. And I don't know, he's got on his own and did some traveling. And when the gold rush in Alaska, he went to Alaska there. And then I don't think he did much, and he got a railroad job there.
I worked in San Francisco Railroad.
Mm. Then he came back here?
He came back. I know that he always told him about it. Made enough money to buy a brand new suit. They bought it from a Jew there. When he come home, the shortest folks put on, by God, they had some old worn-out suit in there, so Dad never had any use for Jews after that. He got took there. Always cost the Jews.
Here's another nugget he brought me back last night.
Oh.
Yeah, just a nugget, yeah.
My goodness, I wouldn't be walking around with that.
It was offered $600 for it the other day.
Yes, I can imagine. Right. How much does it weigh?
I don't know, but he said he'd give her $600 for it.
Anytime I wanted to sell it. He said, you wouldn't take $1,000. I said,
No, there's a lot more sentimental value.
That's what that got up then when he's on. He gave it to her.
Well, he did an awful lot for the city besides just build a creamery, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I don't know. He started a lot of projects. Now they spark across there. But he bought them for taxes, this place and this place and that place. And he built this house there and built all of that. And parked there. And he bought some, Mackles and all them. That he bought all of them for taxes. And then he sold them out.
Well, it seems to me that's quite a thing.
It was bigger. He wore it on his vest across here, you know.
And they got the war.
He wore it with on the watch. In the vest pocket, in the middle.
So he did all right on the Yukon Gold Rush, or?
He came back broke. But he had enough money to buy that suit, and then he didn't have a suit. Then years later, I think in the 20s, something, I don't know, then he built a sail barn, pavilion over dancing there. That stood up there for a few years, and then he rented to the sockholes there, which the Catholic sockholes, and they, all these church towns used to have sockholes. ZGBJ lodges, two in these other towns, they had their own sockholes too, so we had two in Verde Green. And every year you'd go someplace for daily these gatherings, tournaments, and check town like Tabor, South Dakota, Clarkson, South Omaha, I think Wilbur, maybe Abbey was one of them. I don't know, some of these small towns, they all had to suck holes. That's what we enjoyed about going to these tournaments. They would last a few days.
Well, how were these tournaments conducted? I mean, what went on there?
Just like if you go for track, you get points and you go for it, then you got points, you win with high.
And what were the events that...
There was a trapeze and horse on the bars and the horse. And then these year, I don't know what you call them, then a bunch of girls could
train.
We used to enjoy that. I enjoyed the trapeze and the horse on, but the horse, I didn't care much for that.
Sure.
We enjoyed that. Then I don't know, then Hoover days down the banks went broke. We didn't have no banks, so. Dad and a few other fellows, some farmers, I guess they got together and started a co-op bank here.
Mm-hmm.
And then later they sold off and started a Bank of Verde Good. That's the Bank of Verde Good that starts down at the present time in the co-op bank. And I think Dad sold his interest that time to Marshall and that person owner that. He shared the interest. Well, the present pavilion still stands. Dad gave it to brother-in-law over here, Frank Ulrich, and he's still on the farm here about a mile and a half. I have to take you down and show it to you. It's still there.
Yes.
If you want to see it today,
yes,
we'll go down.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Okay, it's still there.
I've heard a lot about the pavilion. Maybe you could just mention some more for the purposes of this tape. You know,
Lawrence Welk used to play there.
Yeah, we had some bands there.
And that was right here at this pavilion or the one in Oakview Park?
This pavilion. Okay. We had some good dances out there. But it seemed like he had 9 out of 10 bands was polka music because it seemed like that's about the only thing that would draw a crowd. I don't know. But we used to have them on Sunday nights. Nobody else had them on Sunday. So everybody come to Verde Grande on Sunday for dances. The big times up there. Yeah. Well, then I think about, I don't know, in the 20s sometimes too, then started WNX gasoline over here and put a pump over there, and then he sold gas there for 2 years before he put up the garage just to sell gasoline, and a couple of years later it was a little bit too small, so Dad was going to add on there so he could put two cars in there for storage, and Three Chevrolet men come down there. They're looking for a dealership, and they seen that was down there and told that they'd give him a dealership if he'd make the garage bigger. So that's how come we got the Chevrolet garage started.
And that's all he had to do was make the garage
just
bigger.
Didn't buy nobody out. We just got the dealership. So that's how we got the. And there I run it there for 42 years before I sold out.
That's interesting. Well, now there was a Chevrolet dealer. Then there was Sandoz, the Ford dealer.
The Ford dealer, yeah.
Was there any other car dealers?
There used to be a Chrysler Dodge dealer. Used to be.
And where was that located?
That's located. That building is tore down where the Verdigris got the tin shed there. Across the firehouse. There used to be a building there, and that's tore down.
I see.
That's where it was.
Well, then there was another one later where Walt is.
Yeah, well, then they started another one, Walt's garage, but I don't know,
it didn't last.
I think it's about 2 years.
Now, the Dodge dealer, was that Savoda Brothers, or Savoda?
That's a hardware store.
That used to be a big hardware store there. Anything you want to buy, they had it there.
Stoves and everything, I know.
They had it, whatever you wanted.
Now, where was that located?
Legion Building.
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, see that one back, Nick? I think that's part of it that got tore down back there. It used to go up to the alley then. Way up to the alley. It's a long building.
Now, I noticed that the Creamery building, getting back to the Creamery, is a stone building. Is that concrete block with a kind of a rough face on it?
Yeah, it's concrete. The old Creamery, when they built this, there was a cement block factory, and they used to build this kind of cement block, but I don't know if these was built. I couldn't have been because later on they was building cement blocks on that before the building was torn down.
But the original Creamery was like that rough cement block.
Yeah. And then, of course, the rest of it is, then when they added a locker part in there, meat department and everything, then that is made out of brick. And they process meat and butchered meat and all this and that. They buy their own meat, and of course you could do it a lot cheaper than now. Then of course now, according to government, no small dealer can butcher any. You got to be big like Swiss or somebody, because you got to have a government man there inspecting that meat, and you can't afford, a small dealer can't afford to pay $50 a day just to have a government there. That time it was, I suppose $100, maybe $200, no, I don't know. But at that time, you know, and you couldn't afford it, so. Now you have to turn around and buy meat.
Butchered meat,
you know. It costs a lot higher if you got freight up then, freight back and that, and if you could save all that.
Well, they used to butcher cattle and use the whole thing into winners and bologna stuff.
I know, we used to have good bologna, so we sold them. When you butchered a cow, it went all out. There wasn't no good parts taken out, so it was all put together, made hamburger, I think. So you had a lot better meat than if you take your choice meat on and put the rest in there. Well, when they got to buy it now, they don't do that because they can't afford to put prime steak into hamburger or like they did then.
Now, when did they stop making the meat? That wasn't so. It wasn't too many years ago, was it?
Ten years or 12, something like that, I would think so. They stopped. Sure, they're making it, but it isn't the quality it was because it didn't go.
Well, you can't use your money.
You can't
go out here and buy one and put a farm.
They can't do that.
Now, do Macahoses, who now own the building, do they still make sausages at all?
Yeah, they still make sausages. Okay. It isn't the quality it was because they can't afford to put the whole critter in them because the meat is too high.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, then built this hill barn out here and couldn't get nobody around it, so I guess he turned off to John Jensen that time, no down payment, 5 cents a head, so it's paid for, $33,000. I understand he paid it for in 3 years' time, 5 cents a head, that's a lot of stuff going through it.
Yes,
but I know he pays off it. So it brought a lot of people in the cell phone. All that I think about what's going to start. I think he moved two houses in over here. He's going to move a bunch of houses in there. But too bad that wasn't alive when they moving them houses from Niagara. They had a bunch of them moved in here. Nobody else was interested enough to do it.
Well, what about you? Did you go to school here? Did you go to school here too?
No, I was from Creighton. I went to school here.
You were from Creighton then?
Yeah. Okay. 12 years, man.
What was it like going to high school here? What was it like going to high school here?
I liked that Smith Use Project. I took 2 years that because I was interested in that farming stuff and all that. And I don't know. I was interested in dairy cows, and if I wouldn't have gone into garage business, I think I'd have built a barn because I wired a barn up to Manoa. There were a fella had 100 male cows, used to ship his cream over here, and I kind of got an interest, and I thought I'd go in that business. But I got into garage business, so I just dropped that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I imagine if I went in milking business, I'd be driving Cadillacs into a Chevrolet. And I didn't get the job done.
I've done nothing else in my life. I don't think I'm
Well, does anybody do any dairying around here now?
Yeah, farmers do.
Right here near Verdigris?
Yeah, they're down. They're all whole milk now. They're all shipping up to cheese factories. It seemed like all the ones they stopped separating milk, so then the cream went down, and there's nobody I don't think is buying cream no more. I don't know of anybody that's buying cream.
Hmm.
It's all whole milk.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were, funny how that business changed around.
So they're making cheese out of it now.
They're making cheese out of it.
Well, AMPI buys a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
And,
That
goes to Sibley, Iowa. Probably comes back here, it's whole milk. Some of it. Mm-hmm. They make cheese and stuff too, and Plainview makes cheese. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a cheese factory. That's right. Yeah.
Big creamery
right
there.
Yeah.
And this AMPI, that's kind of a collection station to it.
Yeah. I can just barely remember when Joe Varwishka, he come from Czechoslovakia to be butter maker for Dad over here. He made some cheese. And I don't know what they call it, but I know it's brick cheese, and it wasn't cured until it was all moldy. Then they would sell it. Then you have to scrape that mold off or cut or what. I don't know why, but it was good cheese. But
a lot?
What?
Did it smell a lot?
No, it didn't.
Because Limburger smells, you
Limburger.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't see that kind of mold with the mold on.
Mm-hmm.
Blue cheese.
Was it blue cheese or that?
I don't know what they made here.
But that one, but probably was blue cheese, I don't know.
Because you still got the blue in the bowl.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Varwishka made some, there's some sold, so I know there was some cheese made when he was here, Joe Varwishka. Yeah.
Well, what did you do when you were a young boy growing up here? What did you do? Did you work at the creamery, day in and day out, or did you go out and have a good time?
Yes, I worked in the creamery, candled eggs, so 3 of us, sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, because we had a carload of eggs to load out every week.
Mm-hmm.
We bought a lot of eggs. Went to buying chickens there, and I washed all the cream cans.
He didn't spend all his time working.
That's what I'm trying to get at. What else did he do?
And then, I don't know, there's so much.
What was he doing at night, he wants to know.
Oh, chasing around, I suppose. Playing accordion, and I wore out two accordions.
Okay, you play accordion.
Yeah, I wore out two.
Now, where did you play the accordion? And what kind of music did you play?
Polka music. And then I wore out two on, then I ordered 1929, I ordered a Bohemian quarter from Czechoslovakia. I still got that. And I don't know, for some reason I quit playing it when I got that. I start girling and I forgot about the music. So I still got the Bohemian accordion. And at that time in 1929, $90 was a lot of money. That's what it cost me from Czechoslovakia. I still got it.
If I remember right, I remember that accordion sitting in the car.
And there's a lot of buttermilk going away, so sometimes 2,000 gallons of buttermilk went to the sewer down the creek, so Dad started me out, bought 40 acres back corn, and I went to hog business. And I tried to feed 1,000 head a year, but I didn't quite do 957 was the most.
Sure.
And then, I don't know, about 2 years I had a contract with Swift. They wanted all the sows buttermilk fed because they said they got more blood, and they would buy these sows and breed them. They put them in a kind of a cage, and they cut a piece of tail, and then they'd suck the blood out of them. Then they burn it with a torch. I watch them to heal it, and then they feed them up to build their blood up, and they'd do that four or five times till the tail was gone, and they'd butcher it off. And they was making the serum out of that, of the horse, and they wanted buttermilk fed hogs because they had more blood than the other.
Oh, I see. I did. That's
so
interesting.
So I sold a lot of them to Swift.
What was the serum used for?
I don't know what serum. I think they made serum for the hog crawler. I think it was the youth. That's what they wanted it. So I had a good, I got a good price for them. And I don't know, I made money on all the hogs except one year, and government buying hogs that year, and what they're doing, shipping them, shooting them, or whatever it is. And I bought about 400 head for 50, 60 pounders for 50 cents a hundred. And if I wasn't such a hurry, I think I could have gone for a quarter, send 100, I don't know. Then hogs got up to about 200 pounds. I was ready to sell them, and the top was $1.80 a hundred, so that's $3.20 for butcher. Well, Dad thought, gosh, you can't think any less for them. Why don't you hold them a little while? I had them a little while. Of course, I had to borrow with them, and pretty soon they got too heavy with pigs, and they weighed 240 pounds, so they was going to dock 40 pounds, only paying me for 200, and so I wasn't getting any more for them. I kept a little longer. Pretty soon I had sows with little pigs running all over the place, and I finally sold the sows and little pigs for $5. I had to get rid of them. That's what I got for them.
Now, the government was buying some of them, too?
Government was buying pigs, and I don't know, they said it.
Yeah, that was during the Depression.
Then they was buying cows, too, and I think they're paying $17 a head. Goes on top of the hill, they'd bind them and they'd dig a hole in it, kill them, bury them there. And I understand, I don't know how true it is, one time the Indians come up and dug them cows up. So after that, they had to pour some kerosene on them so the Indians wouldn't dig them up, meet them.
Is that a true story, or is that what you heard? Or?
That's what I heard, but I know when I was farming over here, Butterfield had a old cow die down there, and it was blowed up some, and flies running, and an Indian come over there, and this is true, because, and he said, what you going to do with that? And I don't know what he told me. He said, can I have it? And he said, if you want to. So he went up to stab down, the stink just blew up the door, and they just smelled. He caught up, put in a wagon, hauled away. Heck, Indians never let anything go to waste like that. So that part is,
that's true.
He stabbed it. But how true this is all here, but that's what I understand. I just if it's true or not, but anything that they take it on, it didn't go to waste.
We'll meet for dinner tonight.
It must have been good and green and tender.
Oh, but I tell you. And I don't know, the dogs, if any dogs at that time was loose, they used to butcher dogs. They don't do that now. Mm-hmm. But then,
mm-hmm. Well, what was the condition of these are the Santee Indians, that you think?
Yeah. It would be from the Niagara, Sioux Santee Indian.
There used to be a lot of them around them, man. I can remember when the hair were down here, them bucks were in them.
Well, I'm going to turn the tape over, and I want to talk about how you two met and courted and things like that. Okay.
Jeez.
So I'm gonna stop the tape now and turn it over. Okay. Well, like I said, how did you two meet?
Blind date, I guess.
A blind date?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, up the pavilion
on blind date, and then that's how it got started. I guess we course.
Craig used to come up here for dinner.
No, Craig and that dog. Yeah.
And well, so there's a whole bunch of us up here, and. Right, we used to come in carloads, I mean, not just
single.
I guess the very good boys decided they couldn't date for Creighton girls.
So that's what happened that night.
Did anybody else get married? Did anybody else from Verdigris and Creighton get married like that?
No, I don't think so.
So how long did you have to go down to Creighton to see her? And
well, he came down the next night.
And we just dated for a year there, and then we got married.
Him and a couple other guys, other crazy girls.
Yeah.
We went together and finally decided that was it, I guess.
Yeah.
in a couple of years.
Where did you get married?
Creighton.
At the which church?
Catholic church.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, we've been married 10 years before we had our first child. She's married and got two grandsons. They're all both 6'3", and they're really grown.
Oh.
They live in Omaha.
Football and basketball players.
Football and basketball players.
And then, did you have any children after that?
No, just one.
What was it like to, where did you have your, was it a daughter you had?
Yeah.
Where did you have your daughter, in Creighton, here,
no,
or at home?
No, in Norfolk.
Oh, in Norfolk. Mm-hmm. So you must have known when the baby was coming, or?
Well, I had been in the hospital a month before that.
I see.
And then all at once, she was a 7-month baby.
Baby had to. And she only weighed like 4.5 pounds, and man, no, she'd be, she's a big girl out of that. We think you can't even, maybe that small would get big.
Yes. How long have you been married then?
We'll be 45 years to 20 years of next month.
45. Hope to make 50, so we can celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary.
That would be nice.
We celebrate our 40th, so... No, 50th, yeah. Then if the good old Lord wants me, it can happen. I don't care. My 50 years of my life.
And our kids, well, some friends of ours, have been married 45 years also, just a few days before that. So their kids and ours are having a party for it. No more.
So do you have friends in Omaha then?
Mm-hmm.
Did they used to live here at one time?
Yeah, one of them used to drive a creamery truck, butter to Sioux City back, one of them, for years. Now he's in Omaha, retired too.
Well, he has two boys. And one of them has plumbing.
My son-in-law works there. With the plumbing.
But they've been friends. They went through school together here.
They played on a football and basketball. They had an undefeated team in football, and that's what they did in basketball, and they played that too. We had a good team.
Now, when you were in high school, was Dr. Lovely your coach?
Yeah, Dr. Lovely.
Did you play basketball too?
Not too much.
What can you tell me about Dr. Lovely?
Well, I guess he was a good basketball player in Omaha because he got the Hall of Fame in Omaha on that.
He retired his number when he quit school, he retired his number.
Mm-hmm. He was a good coach. I liked him.
Did he do anything else besides coaching?
He was a
high schooler.
He has been this year for years. Yeah. So he retired and then took over.
What happened to Dr. Lovely? Did
he? A couple of his friends, or something happened to him, didn't it?
He just couldn't burn him.
I guess he couldn't practice, but he was getting old too.
Then what happened? Did he move from Verdigris?
No,
he retired.
Retired. Couldn't work, so they just lived here.
They lived here. Yeah. Well, yeah, we got a good dentist here now. Good equipment and everything.
Well, let's see. There are a couple of things that, well, I don't know. I guess one of the things that I'd like to know is you lived in Verdigris all your life,
most of your life.
And, what is it that you like about Verdigris, and how does it appeal to you, and things like this?
I think Verdigris has got something special. Very special. Now we have, we've been to O'Neill one time on business. And when we got home, all right, they were looking for us. And when we got home, they said, all right, tonight's party night. So they said, we have a garage. We'll do the rest of it. We have the garage. All right, we have it.
We have it.
So they had some music. Everybody brings, all right, some food and whatever beverage they want to drink. And
music.
We run the cars out of the showroom and party's on.
And that's one thing.
And they would go, at the time they would go around and they would tell all the business, the owners and the proprietors, and say, all right, invite your workers.
Workers.
And, all right, so the party was on just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there isn't very many towns that can do that, that can go right up and down the street, the whole street. Well, if this bunch is gone, that one won't. And here, whether you're a dentist or a lawyer or
doctor or what it is,
probably even a minister, wouldn't they'd all get told. And I think that is that is one thing.
And we got music, and they said, well, you pay for the donation. Well, we passed that around. Sometimes maybe they got $50, $60. They got $100 donation just to pay. If they didn't get none, well, they wouldn't get none. They just were told them, if you want to pay for the dance, for that, so that's the way it was. Yeah. We've had that several
that
years.
Is, I mean, I think that's the crux of, what, of the calendar.
I think they got it. Told the owners, and your hired help to come in. Bring your own booze and your own sandwich, whatever you want, and midnight we have lunch and pass the hat around for the music.
And then
everybody
for quite a while we didn't have a party over there, but then again, sometimes it was pretty quick.
Does that kind of thing still happen?
Hasn't for now.
For 2 years now. A
couple of years.
No. Checker. Yeah, when we first took over, we've had him. He just took up with us. But
that is kind of.
We always had a New Year's party there. We had a nice time there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when we started the lounge and stuff.
No,
and Sheckler would have had him, but I started the lounge and he felt like he was...
One minute.
He was locked the lounge.
Oh, yeah. You didn't want to butt in because they had one here last year.
So they don't...
So when the business men get together, well, and get along, I know because other towns they can't figure out how one big man is jealous, the other one needs to make more money than I am, and they just don't get along like they do here
well,
for some reason. I don't know why.
It's more friendship. That's why I like Brady. Of course, my first daddy I didn't.
Why not?
Well, then it was all Boeing.
Well, then you could have just, nobody talks. You go down the street, I don't care, pool halls, wherever it's all Boeing and check, that's all you could. Of course, I could understand it because when my grandmother was living with me, she couldn't understand English. She'd all had to talk Bohemian to her.
Now, you can still talk Bohemian, right?
Oh, some, not too much. I can understand about half of it. Now, you know, you don't talk for 40 years, you kind of forget. But you don't want to talk about me. I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, when you played your accordion, did you play Czech music? Or?
Yeah, Czech music, mm-hmm. Czech music, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did you learn that Czech music?
Oh, I don't know, just found the notes. And, like, I can't read notes, but kind of, so you know how many buttons up or down or something like that.
Now, you're not the only one that plays that way in this town, are you? There's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people. At that time, I can't understand it. A lot of kids that play accordion, a mod organ. I played some on a mod organ. Get out there. Of course, if you know I play accordion, you can play a mod organ. It's the same key in or out, in different keys. And there was more interest in it. Now, you don't see that now. Nowadays, they carry a mod organ in their pocket and play a few pieces. They go up, beer joint, something, and play it. Well, you don't see that no more. I don't know. It just kind of got away from that.
Do you hear the Czech language much anymore?
Older folks get together. Every year I'm playing cards now and then.
The Misty's place?
Yeah, in here somewhere. Did you see them pictures of Misty's
place?
The mill dam down there?
He's got a picture that I haven't seen anywhere else, and that's that panoramic view of Verdigris, you know, that shows the library corner and where the record store used to be, you know, and Turcon Saloon and things like that.
The last year then I fished under that dam then when I started. Because I know neighbor over here, you go walk back here, mother said, well, Joe, take me fishing someday. So he did throw himself for me. And I don't know, we fished below the dam and it was nothing to catch 2, 3, 4, or 5 pound cat. That was a good stunt. I remember Barney Cope was down there, he caught 3 big catfish. I don't know how much they were that big. He didn't want to give it to me, take him home. I didn't know how I was going to get him home, they're so heavy. I had a hard time. I was dragging them catfish. And it was nothing to catch fish on this. I remember the 2 houses below that one got burned. And when the walk washed the banks away, washed one wall of the basement in it. I was standing in the basement of that house fishing the creek there. That I can remember.
So there were houses right on the creek?
Yeah, they were on the creek that time, them 2, and then they got moved.
Would you like tea or coffee?
No, thank you. I don't drink tea or coffee, but some ice water would be nice.
Too bad I ain't got some kolaches. I usually have.
Do you make kolaches, yeah, or does your wife?
I make them. I usually got them, but...
Now what? What? Yes, but where does your family come from?
Germany.
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 What's your maiden name?
Ulrich.
Her dad came from Germany.
I guess 4 years old came from Germany.
Well.
It's his grandson.
Mm-hmm. It was grandparents.
Grandparents, not his parents. He's the only one that's here anymore. And he's 4 years old.
And where did he go to? Did he come?
West Point.
West Point. Now, do you know why your father came over with his parents?
Oh.
What was the reason?
I don't know that. I think it's them. Draft agents or something down there, they didn't like about it. I think so. We just come over here. Oh, give me tea. I do this come over here. And there's a lot of them from that come over here. And then we shook us off here. A lot of them settled the Pishua community over there. There's just a lot of them down there. That's all worth. What? Well, yeah, that's where he got his start. And he worked in the creamery, right? They get his start in Minnesota, and then he won on his own, and they come to Verde Green.
Now, did he have any competition when he was in the creamery?
Omar Cold Storage was the worst one for him. They used to battle back and forth, but then they always got along together. They came down there, and I drank off with after we, this one that used to be on I'm of course Norfolk, and he was a state master for the Knights of Columbus at 4 degrees, so I got to know him pretty well. But he's come back and forth. They battle, but then still was good friends when they come down to visit each other and drink coffee or something like that. And then have cream wars or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Can you think of anything else you'd like to talk about as far as Verdigris history or what it's been to live, what's been like living in Verdigris?
Oh, Dad had bought a farm over here, and he's kind of developing over it. And then his Wildwood Acres, Dad intention was to make a park out, but it never got done, and I don't know. So then Dad finally sold the land to Doc Carlson, and Doc Carlson turned over to Village of Verdigris because of Dad's wishes when he bought that to be in. And Dad for several years wanted to get a nursing home started in Verdigris, but I don't know, for some reason never got started. And then we sold all the land down there that was down there, and we kept the land over here that had some was plowed out for lots. And then when I wanted to build a nursing home, Dad's wishes was he wanted a nursing home, so us for 5 children, yeah. We just said we'd donate that land to the Alpine. Oh, yeah, Alpine Village, so we donated that for Dad's wishes, and we just fulfilled his wishes then.
And old dad and mother, they boarded up 80 years old. So they boarded at a good ripe age. I guess about 90 days apart, they passed away.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Dad passed away on Christmas Day to be with Mom, I guess, in heaven for Christmas.
She died in October and he died in...
I got up one morning and I was picked her up to take her to church Sunday morning. I walked in the house, there she was at that table, sitting there dead like this. Mm.
So she went peace for you
at the table. Because I always picked her up every morning to the church. I don't know anything else.
Well, I'm sure we can think of some more, and I'll think of some more and come back and talk about it.
Okay.
We appreciate you taking the time out to do it.